Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for another week and lots to discuss. Leeds United, 3 defeats in a row now. A disappointing performance at home to Reading at the weekend. We'll ask what Thomas Christensen needs to do to turn things around. Bradford, they were beaten. They're back in action tonight. Derek Clark will be over at Valley Parade for us. We'll also talk the rest of our Yorkshire sides as well, where Sheffield United remain on the march, victory over Ipswich, while Sheffield Wednesday pressure now seriously on Carlos Carvajal after defeat to bottom of the table Bolton Wanderers. We'll discuss all of the rest of the news across the Football League, including Shrewsbury's raising funds for a new stand at the new Meadow. Malky Mackay, a former Football League boss, is in the running to become the Scotland gaffer. And speaking of Scotland, we'll have a revived 30-second coil. He lives on the FL 72. Yes, all the usual features will be with you. Crawley Town Watch a little bit later on. Good days, bad days as well. And Tom,
hello.
It's going to be back, 30-second coil.
It's back. It's back. We've
a twist.
Worked together for a twist to somehow revive it. Because Scotland doesn't tend to do interviews, I found.
Yeah, certainly doesn't put them on the internet. Anyway,
yeah, which just seems massively pointless and unhelpful to us. So we've just had to try and come up with a new way so it can live.
Yeah, not very helpful for this feature. But the good news is that Ross County did do us a favour. They have embraced YouTube and they did a long sit-down chat.
Yes,
with Owen Coyle when he got the job. So we'll be serialising his life.
Yeah,
for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously a nice sit down with Owen. Countdown Coil Life Stories. So we get to know Owen and obviously everything that he has achieved and brought us joy, etc., etc. So, yeah, we'll be finding out a lot about Owen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, finding out all about the great man, how he was built, how he was made. So we'll have that a little later on. Let's crack on, though, with the football chat. And, we'll start with Leeds United, disappointment once again at the weekend. Down to six in the table now. But defeat to Reading, who were really struggling, as we discussed last week, hadn't won for a while. Leeds now find themselves three defeats in a row.
Yeah, disappointing. Reading, we kind of looked at as a great opportunity to bounce back. Not just get results going, but get some momentum back, which I think is what they need. They lose. Could have been a point at least if Pablo Hernandez actually hit the penalty rather than softly roll it towards the goalkeeper. Just a disappointing afternoon, and it's frustrating, but I suppose, like you said, Leeds are in sixth still. So I think as crisis is go, it's not that bad of one. It's just that they do need to look at this and address how they can turn around this form. They struggle against the teams like Reading, who are happy to come to Elm Road. Preston did it, and that they don't really have much intention of winning the game, really, but they can get something out of it. And as Reading go on, they went and won. So that's a concern. It's just how they beat that, how they work it out. Because at the start of the season, it seemed that Leeds had just so many different plans, plan A, B, C, D, whatever. And now, if plan A doesn't work, they struggle. They don't seem to have any other option.
Yeah, that was something I did think back in August and early September. I remember saying it on this show when they beat Burton. It's all right playing against those teams. August sometimes is a bit of a free month. A lot of teams still getting it together.
Yeah,
but it
yeah.
gets to this point now in October. You've already seen quite a few managers get the sack. And when teams are under pressure and they're desperate for the points, and like you said, come and defend for their lives at Elland Road and try and get the crowd and the team frustrated, do Leeds have enough? Do this group of players have it within them? Is there enough fight Troy Deeney said it at the weekend, talking about Arsenal. Is there enough cojones in the team for Leeds? It's a bit of a fair point when you look at some of the players they've brought in. A lot of flair, a lot of players from Spain, Saez, obviously coming from Spanish second division, Alioski as well. You know, are these players as talented as they are built for the Championship?
I don't know, but I just don't get why a Leeds team who is so good in attack and so good going forward, and we know what they're like, you know, we've seen it, that they can truly produce some wonderful things on the ball when they're in attack between Saez, Alioski, Hernandez. Do they not want, they don't seem to want to attack. They don't seem to want to get the ball to the attacking players to get themselves into a position. I don't quite understand it. It seems to be a lot of just happy to keep the ball and not really doing much with it. And that's my biggest concern with Leeds, is the fact that it's like, well, it is that. They've got such talent up front, and the team is very top-heavy in terms of, there is some real talent up front in terms of kind of, compare it in this league, the likes of Saez looks an absolute capture, Alioski as well, Lasoga seems to have goals in him. They just don't seem to want to get to that part of the pitch and give them the amount of opportunities to create something. It seems to be, we've got the ball at the back, we're happy just to keep it at the back, maybe wait, where sometimes you've got to take risks, and this Leeds team seems a bit scared of taking risks. They want to, the safe option always seems the best, and in the end it just ends up putting pressure on themselves more and more, as we kind of saw on Saturday, and then they end up losing at home to Reading, and now all that optimism, that belief at the start of the season has gone by mid-October, despite the fact that Leeds are still in a good position. It's just you saw Reading as a real opportunity to turn it round, and they didn't.
Big opportunity to get another 3 points on the board, because the teams are coming behind them. Villa lost at the weekend, but a point away. So are Norwich, Fulham within 2 points. So are Ipswich, who lost at the weekend as well. Then you've got the likes of Middlesbrough, who still haven't got it together under Gary Monk either. Only 3 points off Leeds in six. Sheffield Wednesday within four. We'll get to their problems a little bit later on. But there are teams breathing down Leeds United's neck now, and if this continues, Leeds could quite easily find themselves in mid-table before they know it.
Yeah, but then I suppose one win and they're back to within potentially a point of being in second. So it's very fine margins. It is just that they go to Bristol City this Saturday, who are really an in-form, I think it's fair to say, as well as a very positive start. So talk about Reading being a great opportunity. I think if Leeds can go down to Ashton and get a result and get a win, then you're looking at it maybe as a different picture, that, you know what, actually it's all right. And it's weird that Leeds seem to, it just seems to be better to watch Leeds away than at Elland Road. I don't quite get why that is. They seem to have a different mentality. Sheffield Wednesday was different, but as I've said, if Leeds had took the early chances, it could have been a completely different game. Why can they go away and play with seemingly more confidence and want to attack teams, and yet Elland Road, it's a bit more conservative of, oh, we don't want to slip up, we don't want to mess up. You can't really get anywhere if you're not willing to take the risks.
No, there has been a problem, hasn't there, at Elland Road, particularly when the big crowds come in. Leeds tend, more often than not in recent years, to underperform, and there was the expectancy built very, very quickly. Not just because of on the field, but also off the field and all the positivity. And it's almost probably built up too quickly, and these players seem to have gone backwards.
I get that. I think it's important to remember, I know it's back-to-back losses, but it is only three losses. Leeds still are sixth. So the early season form has saved them, and it's helped them.
Four losses, Tom. Four, of course. Millwall as well.
It's the fact that, or I mean in a row, because obviously they bounced back with Ipswich, but it seems to me that it's just the manager in Christiansen doesn't want to change the way Leeds play. I admire the whole staying and, what is it, I'll die by my philosophy, however, that's admirable, great. But sometimes you've got to realise, when you're going up against Millwall, you're going up against Cardiff, sometimes you're just going to have to put the big man up front and just lump the ball up to him. You're going to have to match them in that style. And you're going to have to, it's not going to be pretty, it will be ugly, it's not going to be the fancy football that I'm sure he wants to play, but sometimes it's a case of Cooper and Jansen just lumping it up to Lasoga, him trying to get the flick onto a Saiz to score, and that's it. That's you win the game. And I think it's, I don't think that realization's there yet, that maybe in Cyprus you could just get away with playing one way. But sometimes you just have to go, forget it, long ball for a half. Second half, we need to come back, just lump it forward and try and get something.
Do you think Lasoga's up to that? Up to,
he's a big lad, isn't he?
He's a big guy.
I'd say so.
Yeah, this obviously, he's very talented. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, comes with a big reputation, but also he's not been in great form for the last couple of years. He's a guy on a big wage that his club were quite happy to get out the door. Do you think there may be an issue there, that, like maybe a couple of the other guys as well, always a danger when you bring in unknowns, that they're talented, but consistency is going to be the key, and maybe work ethic as well?
I think it's a case of, it's worked for Leeds in a favour in a way, because he's come over. I remember the whole birth of his child thing. He was adamant he didn't want to go home. He wanted to stay in Leeds. He wanted to play where he could. So there seems to be an ambition, a drive, the fact that he knows he's got this reputation now. Flop of the century, I think he was described in Germany. And it's like, well, he wants to come over here and prove a point. He wants to score a load of goals, and that'll work in Leeds' favour, of course. But more for a personal thing, I think he wants to come score a load of goals so he can go back to Germany. If he does go back at the end of the season, we don't know whether Leeds will sign him or anyone will sign him or what. And say, look, you know, I can do it. This is, I've shown that I have the quality to do it. And then maybe it'll kind of rekindle his career over at Hamburg. But I think that'll work in Leeds' favour. It's just, again, it just seems to be that they don't want to attack. They don't want to get the ball to Lasoga to do something. Because he strikes me as a bit of a target man, but he's got pretty good movement, probably better than I expected. And I think it's whether you just change, whether you play a Kmar Roof next to him and try it, and then see if he likes having someone run off him or a size off him. And, you know, you take the pressure off him a bit and there's someone else there to kind of share the workload. I don't know. I just think you need to try something. You need to try something new. You can't just keep doing it over and over again when it's not working as it has been and just expect it to magically change.
Is there a concern for you of the confidence? And Thomas Christiansen said it quite a bit in the post-match interview he did with Mark Wilson at the weekend. He was talking about a lack of confidence in the players. As you said, right, they've lost four games of their last five.
Yeah, Ipswich was the only
Leeds
win.
Winning, yeah, bouncing back against Ipswich.
And even then, that wasn't great.
But before then, as you said, playing free-flowing football, playing well, that the confidence has evaporated. Is that a concern, particularly at the weekend? A few comments coming in on Facebook talking about Bristol City. They've lost once all season, so a side that are really difficult to beat.
They are. It's there. It's obviously there, isn't it? Like I said, the early season they were great and they were wonderful, and you're going, wow, this team looks actually capable of potentially being title contenders. And in my opinion, I think they still are, despite a blip. It's easy to get carried away, but they're still top six. They're just out of form. Every team has a blip. Hopefully this is Leeds' out the way done in October, where they've not free fall down the table. And if they can turn it around and get something at Bristol City, then you're going, all right, okay, well, maybe they can. It might be a confidence thing. I just think it's more the fact that it's the willing or the unwillingness just to change and try something else and look at it and go, I don't really agree with putting two strikers up front as a manager, but if I have a feeling it should work against this team. And if we have to forget the little playing out of the back and we just lump it forward, and if that works, it works. I think that's just my only concern, that it just doesn't seem to want to change the way it's playing. And as it's shown, if you just keep trying the same thing over and over again, teams will work you out, as has done over the past few weeks, and nothing changes. I think it's just finding any way they can to get a win. And I think it's got to be at Bristol City, as difficult as it is, because you can't have another loss. It's just the confidence will truly be gone by that point. I think it's just a case of just win any way you can, win ugly, do whatever, get a win. And I think that's how the belief comes back. But it just seems to be the unwillingness to change, to try something new, to just go, I don't agree with this style of football, but if it works, it works. I don't think anyone will care if Leeds are promoted. If Leeds win the title, is there lifting the trophy at Elland Road? I don't think anyone will go, but we did play long ball a couple of times. Don't really think anyone will care. The matter is just get the results. And get the belief back, get some wins on the board, because it's difficult to come by.
Can you see it happening? Obviously, we see managers these days who are want to stick to their style. We've seen it this season, fail miserably for Frank de Boer at Palace. But then on the other side of things, in the Championship a couple of years ago, you had Eddie Howe, you know, storming the division in the end with Bournemouth playing that way and keeping to his philosophy.
Maybe, you know, and this is just a case of mid-game, like at Cardiff. If Liam Cooper hadn't got sent off and if he didn't do pure stupidity that really got the result away, it just seemed to be a case of just put Lasoga on and just try and out long ball them, just try and out, you know, it's not great, but it'll probably work and it'll get you something. It's not going into games, it's trying it and going after 20 minutes or 25, half hour, going, this really isn't working, we can't keep the ball, we're struggling, especially at Elland Road, it's a concern. So instead, we are going to try this. This is our plan B, our plan C, because apparently I was told that when Monk and Clitet were in charge, they had so many scenarios. They worked out every scenario in a game, and that's kind of why Leeds did well, bar the slump at the end of the season, where that period where Leeds just won every week, they basically planned out every possible scenario so that when something happened, they go, right, we're doing this instead now. And it seemed to work. It just doesn't seem that preparation's in place. It just seems to be, this should work, and if it doesn't, I don't know, just keep hoping eventually it will work. And I don't know if you can go to Bristol City and try and outplay them at football. I just don't think it's going to work away. Maybe Leeds will have to go, we're putting two up front, we're just going to try and pack the midfield, and that's how we'll win the game.
We'll get to your comments on Facebook in a moment. Plenty coming in on Leeds at the moment. What do you make of Pontus Janssen's comments? He's put out a post on Instagram.
Yes.
Today, talking about the last few weeks have been tough, how badly he has played personally. But then he says, but now we all want the same thing now. Which kind of means that you would read in between the lines that maybe the last couple of weeks there has been a bit of an issue and they've not all been pulling in the same direction.
It's difficult to kind of read between the lines on it, but it's refreshing to see a player come out and go, nah, not having this, not having it, you know, and I think that kind of takes the pressure off when you've got such a fan favourite as Janssen coming out and going, we've not been great, I've not been great, we're going to turn this around, we're going to solve it. It just kind of takes I think him doing that has taken the pressure off a bit, because then people have seen it and gone, you know, great, Janssen's being brutally honest, that's what we want. We want the footballers, our players, just to be honest and say, we've not been good enough, we're determined to turn it round. I think he can say, you know, they can say all they want, unless they go out and do it, it's a different thing. But it's quite good. You don't see it much anymore, do you? I think I quite like the fact he's just come out and just said it as it is and how a lot of people are thinking at the moment. So it's quite refreshing. I think it is quite refreshing to see.
Yeah, a positive. And that's what it's needed. You see a lot, don't you, on social media these days, that teams get beat and the players all come out, you know, apologising or,
we'll
be back stronger next week. And it doesn't feel like it's got any meaning behind it. But when, you know, someone like Pontus Janssen comes out and says that, hopefully, he can help be the catalyst to get Leeds back in the right direction. Some of the comments coming in on Facebook, Aaron McCourt, Leeds just need a win to get back on it. Change of tactics needed, maybe go two up top, which is what the fans want, instead of just the one striker. We can't seem to show fight in games when we're behind and get a result. It's not all about scoring the first goal. Is that a fair comment? Do you think Leeds, if they don't score first, then they've got no chance.
Yeah, it's a case of Leeds kind of, and you saw it early season, they needed to score first and get control of the game. And it is that they don't seem to know how to react when they're not in control 20 minutes, 30 minutes in. They struggle, and it's one of many things that they've got to address and try and sort out. How they do that, we're not sure. Again, we don't know. It's trying different things. It just seems, you know, so much talk was on Felix. It seems the rest of the squad, it just seems a confidence thing. You just don't know how they get out of it. But then it's a test of Christensen, a test of the coaching staff on how they do it. It's how they do it, we don't know. But hopefully they kind of work out soon and get it sorted.
Three defeats in a row, and Phillips quoting Roy Hodgson We'll move on from that one. Philip, Lee Crisp, we're getting bullied on the field, needed some steel in the side. And then a couple of other people saying Vieira has to come in now.
It's got to be a point where he's got to come in.
He has to come in. He should be in already.
Got to come in at some point. I can understand the logic of he's a young player. He needs to be managed. Leeds needed him last season purely because it was just a case of, oh, we can't change anything. It's all going well. We just need to keep him there. And rightly so, because he was fantastic. I understand managing him. He's a young player. You don't want to burn him out. It's easy to forget. You know, he is so young. But yeah, he's just so talented. You want to make sure you don't burn him out. He's been at the Toulon tournament. He's been had a long summer, a very short summer in terms of for Leeds. So understand giving him maybe the start of the season off. And I think Christiansen said something about him not being fit or up to it or something like that. But it's got to be now. He's got to come in at some point. He is a player who likes to get stuck in. He likes to be that kind of physical presence in the midfield despite a young age. He just seems to, I don't know, I think he'll inject something into the Leeds team if you bring him in. Someone like that, quite a lively player. If you bring him in, you're thinking it might just lift everyone else. It's just who you play him alongside at the moment.
Indeed. But as well, with someone like Vieira, you're bringing a young player in who tend to be more fearless. If confidence is low, you need those kind of players. Players are just gonna come out and play on instinct rather than, you know, not pass the ball or hesitate. You need people like Vieira for me.
Yeah, it's weird because it's just like, I don't know, you saw it at Leeds last season, you saw it at the start of this season. It's down to little things like, if it's not going well, one moment could change it. You introduce Vieira, whatever. It's Berardi just going through someone, winning the ball and taking a player with him. It's a fair challenge, but the player goes flying, the crowd get into it. Janssen doing it, Janssen going to the south stand, screaming at everyone. That just doesn't seem to be there at the moment. It's just one moment like that that can go, that the crowd can get behind, a succession of tackles, you know, really showing some kind of desire. Doesn't seem to be there. And whether you introduce a Vieira to try and aid that, I'm not too sure. I think he has to come in, though. He's got to come in. He's too talented to keep leaving out.
Yep, has to be in now for me. A lot of people calling for 4-4-2 from Leeds.
Is that Mike Bassett-esque.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Something different. Just something different. I don't know about 4-4-2 because then you limited the likes of Saiz, Alioski, and things like that. You just want to kind of give them that attacking space to play. I think Tommy Hansen says 3-5-2, yeah, which I quite like.
Would you go on to Leeds have the centre-backs to play 3-5-2?
3-4-3, I'd say. And just try and boss midfield battle. Wolves play 3-4-3, I think. And if you think of the characters that Wolves have in terms of the players, it's quite similar, a similar mould to Leeds. So I don't know whether 3-4-3 would work. You bring in, obviously, I think at the moment, Lonergan in goal, Janssen, Cooper, Pennington as your back three. You can push Berardi up to left midfield. Maybe put Dallas in. Ayling, who seems to be good going forward, he can play a right back, right wing back, right midfield role. Vieira, O'Kane in the middle. And then you've got Alioski. Put Saiz out on the left. Lasoga up front. It just seems to be then that they're more forward because we know how good this team is attacking. You kind of make sure then that at the top end of the pitch, you're top heavy, you've got the players up there and you're attacking minded. Just seems to be for such an attacking talented team, just don't want to attack. It seems weird.
It does. You mentioned there Vieira coming in. O'Kane, Phillips says they've both been poor lately. Who would you pick if Vieira's going to come into that to drop out?
It's a difficult one. For me, probably Phillips, purely on O'Kane's a bit more experienced and he's been poor. Sheffield Wednesday, apparently he was injured, as it could tell in his performances, and everyone's been poor, I think it's fair to say. There's only been a couple of players who maybe lived above the poor tag, but I think Vieira would complement O'Kane quite well. I think if you got Vieira and Phillips, you got two similar midfielders. Then there's not much variety in it. Nothing against Phillips, but I think if Vieira's going to come in, I'd like to see him alongside O'Kane. Maybe see if Phillips can form a partnership with like a Click, see if they work. It's options. It just seems to be that, just seems to be the same old with the odd change in at left midfield, left attacking midfield, whatever. It doesn't seem to be much variety.
Elsewhere, let's get some of the comments on Facebook. Sally Lennon, evening from your resident Birmingham fan.
Hello.
And Sal. Birmingham won, didn't they? Beat Cardiff?
Yes, they won on Friday. Cotterill's first game in charge.
There we go. Take it all back. That Friday night feeling with Steve Cotterill.
Yes.
It was there. It was there.
What result that is. Yeah, Cardiff flying high. Fantastic for them. Only lost twice this season, so great for Birmingham. You hope it's a result that kicks them on a bit, because I think they've got too much talent in that squad to be getting relegated.
Quite a lot of the bottom few teams not losing at the weekend. Millwall, the lowest ranked team to lose in 17th.
Did well. It's quite good. I quite like that about the league, though. You're bringing in that anyone can beat anyone again mentality. Bolton obviously actually won this weekend. Nice change. It's good. It makes it more interesting, because you don't want to have Bolton, Sunderland drifting off far too early. I think, obviously, unless Leeds do a massive nosedive, then I'll hate it. But it keeps it interesting for the neutral.
Let's get back to more of the comments coming in. Lee Chris, seems like players play great once they sign a contract, then they're a different player.
I can agree. I don't know. It's the loan curse, isn't it?
To some extent, yeah. It's loan players.
Yeah, but I'm not sure why. It's just, again, it just seems to be that, for me, it comes down to just a lack of the unwillingness to kind of change things and just try something else, because if it's not working, you can't just keep doing it and expect it to work.
Guy Balderson says, Ayling's like a young Billy Bremner, and is talented young, and also Phillips, and you on something, Tom. Please stop coming on.
I don't know.
He's having a bit of a rant there, Guy.
It's purely on the Phillips thing. It's pure. I like Calvin Phillips. It's just a case of, if Ronaldo Vieira is going to come back in, someone's got to give way. But then you've got Calvin Phillips on the bench, so it works out quite well. Then you've got options on the bench to come on, which I'm not convinced at the moment. J. Roy, Grott, Sacco are impact players. Grott's obviously one for the future, but he's got to be kind of ready to contribute something now. You're not really seeing much from him.
No. I don't think he's ready at all for the Championship football.
I think it's the
far
issue.
Too green.
It's the issue of last season. If Wood's not firing, where do Leeds go? Same if Lasoga's not firing. Okay, Saez, and that's there, but then you've got to put someone else. There's no one that's similar to him. If you're changing it up, you're putting Grott on, who's similar, but hasn't really done anything yet. Chubitsky, who's a completely different footballer. Are we ever really going to see him feature? I'm not too sure. And then Roof, who's completely the opposite end of a Lasoga. So it's difficult. It might be an area to investigate in January, but yeah, it just doesn't seem to be enough impact on the bench.
No, it's interesting, isn't it? When at the start of the season, when these players come in and Leeds signed a lot of players, you were thinking, right, there's probably a couple of absolute diamonds in there. Probably is with the likes of size. So maybe a Lasoga, potentially. And then you're kind of looking maybe for two or three more of whatever it was, the 13 that Leeds brought in, to make an impact. Then all of a sudden you get to October and there aren't too many that you're kind of pinning your hopes on.
Yeah, that's the issue. Then you've got it seems to be they have to drop a size, an Alioski, so they've got someone to come off the bench and make an impact, but then you're missing that on the pitch. It's just, obviously, like the likes of J. Roy Grott, etc., look like they've been brought in, same with Chubitsky, that in the future they'll offer something. Next season after, they could start, we don't know. It's just at the moment, they don't seem to be offering much. They don't seem to have the impact that Leeds need, because if it's not working, you look to the bench, as any manager does, and it's not enough there to spark something. Now, Sacco is an interesting one, because Reading, and then Burnley, when he came on, instant impact in the cup game. But then it's kind of, you look at the past form and you're thinking, well, where is this player? Hopefully this could be the start of a bit of a turning point. It wasn't. He's kind of come back in when Leeds are on a slump. It's just difficult. It's difficult. I just don't think there's enough quality on the bench that can really change a game, unless you drop in first teamers just to provide that.
Andy says Vieira, Dallas, O'Kane, Alioski and Size are his midfield. Nathan just goes to show how bad Leeds were a couple of weeks ago when against Sheffield Wednesday when they lose a game like that against Bolton. Guy gets stuck in again, bringing back some of the legends once you've got something missing. Philip, seems that Leeds have swapped Wood for Lasoga and that doesn't work. Leeds need another striker up front. Philip's asking about Grot and Sakho. Should they start? We've kind of done Grot. Sakho, do you think he...
No.
No?
He's too frustrating to watch. He jokes about this, square it, Hardy, square it. And it's like, well, yeah, do it. He's very interesting to watch. You just know he hasn't got much of an end product. But then we saw it at Burnley where he scored a fantastic kind of finish.
Yeah, on that formula, he's the kind of guy you want to bring on, isn't he? That
yeah,
he's, you know, he's rough and ready and
his decision-making, still, it just doesn't seem to be there, the decision-making. Seems to be, as soon as he gets to the box, he's like, shoot, cross, pass, run, just keep going, I'm not too sure. And then it costs, and it's cost Leeds last season, it's cost him again. He's got, that's the thing, he's got speed, but it's whether he's got the decision-making up to it to make the instant impact off the bench. I don't know, I just think it's an area that Leeds need to look at in January, but then how do you convince a player to come to go, you'll be a sub and we'll probably use you, but only when we need you. It's a difficult one. It's just that case of how you solve it without having to drop first teamers down and then you're obviously missing them on the pitch.
Elsewhere, Alioski needs to start going down so easy and toughen up. I think that's why he's not been featuring as much, just not up to the physicalities of the championship.
I think he didn't feature on Saturday because he'd been away on international, hadn't he? And I think they played on the Tuesday. So I suppose Christiansen wanted someone fresher than him, with him travelling back as well, you presume, probably on the Wednesday, joining up with them on the Thursday, Friday. So he'd been away on the international duty, that might be why. I get that, but Alioski's that type of winger, isn't he? Where I think as soon as he sees anything, he's going down. And I think it might have to click soon that it doesn't work as easy as that in the Championship. You know, for Saiz, I'm sure you could get away with it in the likes of Spain, Switzerland, where he was from. I mean, Europe, you seem to be able to get away with being a bit softer and going down easier. It doesn't seem to work over here, but that's the style of player they are. It's just the issue seems to be to me that they don't want to attack. There seem to be a team that don't want to attack, but have just such attacking talent. It's just a weird one. It's a weird one, and it just seems a simple change, trying something new, might fix it.
Andy is asking his question. Do you think that when Grot gets his goal, he will be a different player? You kind of already answered that for me, no.
He might chip in. He might be more of an impact sub then. If he can get a goal, then, you know, probably he's got the confidence to keep doing it. And then that's what you want on an impact sub, isn't it? Because he's got the physicality, the qualities of being an impact sub. He's quite quick, got a lot of power on him. He needs him to contribute, obviously, with a goal. So whether that kicks him off, I don't know. I don't think it would get him into starting form. But it'll be what Leeds need and probably want off the bench.
Indeed. Keep your thoughts on Leeds coming in. We'll keep getting to them throughout the show, but we should move on and talk about some other teams as well. Let's do Sheffield Wednesday defeat by bottom of the table Bolton at the weekend. Of course, hadn't been in great form themselves, bar that win against Leeds before the international break. They're down in 12th. Having lost three of their last four games, and that defeat to Bolton. I know Bolton have got to win sometime, but
yes,
with the current climate at Hillsborough, not great for Carlos.
No, beaten them twice now of Bolton this season. They beat them in the Cup, they beat them again in the league. Put out on Twitter, has Carlos's dream become a nightmare? Should Sheffield Wednesday sack him? Still going if you want to get in touch, at @radio_Yorkshire. 61% say sack him, 39% say keep him. I put this on my Twitter, simple screenshot of the replies to the Wednesday account announcing the result. It's fair to say they're quite unanimous in getting rid of him. Football's a funny game. They were praising him as the best thing ever when they made the playoffs, and now they want him gone. For me, he seems to be losing the plot a bit in terms of, we'll hear from him shortly, and he spends the entire post-match going on about the referees and how, if refereeing decisions had been different, it all would have been better.
He's done that quite a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, you can't.
I think we'll ditch him maybe because he is very much.
You can't
blame culture.
Sometimes you've got to just bite the bullet on it and say, you know, we're not good enough, and they are not good enough. You can't just keep putting it down to refereeing decisions as to why you're nowhere near where you should be.
I brought this up on the Yorkshire Football Show yesterday. Go and watch it on YouTube, Radio Yorkshire's YouTube channel, also via radioyorkshire.co.uk as well. But we talked about all the Yorkshire sides and the current form. And Sheffield Wednesday, something I mentioned the other week on the show, actually, was just their recruitment and the way that the team has developed since Carlos came in back in 2015. So I'm just going to have a look, and we're going to investigate the last three or four games and how many of the players that are starting played under Carlos in that first season before they'd gone through all these transfer windows where they've spent heavily and brought in a lot of players through the door. And you can make a case for nine players that were there in 2015 when he first came in are all regulars still in the team, despite the amount of players that they brought into the club. Westwood, obviously injured at the moment. You've got Hunt, Tom Lees, Lee, Bannon, Wallace, Hooper, Palmer, Forestieri, all were there in 2015, and they're starting regularly.
Well, there you go then.
He brought in Rhodes,
who apparently they want rid of already. It's
weird. A lot
of
players they brought through the door of the last couple of years, yet the team doesn't seem to have developed.
He seems to have just spent for the sake of spending at times. You know, you look at the strikers and you think they've got such talent up front already, and they just seem to buy Rhodes for the sake of buying Jordan Rhodes. It's like that's £10 million and you don't need him. If Sheffield Wednesday did not have Jordan Rhodes, then it probably wouldn't be any different. It wouldn't have been any worse. It wouldn't have been any better because they've got the likes of Fletcher and Hooper up front who already do the job. So you just need to be spending money for the sake of spending money. And then they bring players in who, you look at the likes of Lewis McGugan, who was a starter in the league, went to Sheffield Wednesday, disappeared off the face of the earth, and then they got rid of him. So it seems to be that where it seems to be because they've got the spending power, they're just going to use it to build up a massive squad, but then ultimately it'll kind of be the, well, I just trust this lot, so I'm just going to keep going back to them because I know they'll probably do a job. And again, is it a bit like Leeds, whereas now as soon as it's not working, it's a bit of, I don't know if I want to change it because I believe that this can work. It's worked before. I think they've been found out a bit now. I think they've been found out, and they just can't get out of that. Just can't get out of it.
It's very strange. And when you look at it, and you would expect from 2015 and all the players they brought in, someone like a Ross Wallace. You know, he's a good player, Ross Wallace. But is 3 years down the line, should he still be the man that's leading Wednesday's creative charge? Well, the way that the players they've brought into the club,
I think
you've got to develop and move on from that.
Unless they went up or down, which obviously you're looking at more going up than down, you can't just keep relying on the same players because you're coming up against the fullbacks that you've been playing for the past 2 years who will know the ins and outs of what you're going to do. It's just that try something new, bring someone else in.
They're still in the back with the same team.
That's what I mean. I don't know whether it's just the reset button going, well, we'll try this because I know it'll start it all again and it probably will work better. It just seems to be that unwillingness to change. And now it's cost him in terms of results, but now everyone's kind of... The atmosphere just seems a bit toxic at times at Hillsborough. When Leeds were there the other week, they're 3-0 up and you're going... The atmosphere is awful. This is not a Hillsborough that we know it to be. The Hillsborough, one of the probably best atmospheres when it gets going in the Football League. And they're 3-0 up in what probably they look more than Leeds do as a local derby and a rivalry, and they just don't seem fussed. And again, then they lose to Bolton, and here we are. We're back again talking about pressure. The £20 note's not kind of arrogantly coming out a bit now. And we're asking questions once again. I'm not sure how long he'll get. I've been a fan of keeping with him, but it's not just if results don't turn around. The atmosphere around the club at the moment is just terrible, and it seems to be that it's just simpler to get rid of him and get someone else in than trying to kind of reinvent the wheel to get a good atmosphere back.
Nathan says he thinks Carvajal has spent massively but invested in the wrong areas. Got to agree there. Now, Tom, you mentioned a few moments ago an unwillingness to change, which is a bit like us on the FL 72, because despite Owen Coyle not managing in the Football League anymore, we don't want to let our future go.
We don't. We had to adapt. Is it Bear Grylls who says it? Overcome something, adapt, or something. But we did that. We've done that.
Certainly. I like the phrase innovate or die.
I saw you tweet that. So that's a bit severe. But yeah.
Not actually like die, as in death.
Yeah, but yeah.
We either kill it or we innovate.
Yeah, that's true. And we've innovated.
We have. Countdown Coil lives. We're now doing life stories. A bit like Piers Morgan, except nobody cries.
In no way a rip-off.
In no way a rip-off, unless you look at Tom's
go on Twitter.
Photoshopping, which you can check out now at @Radio_Yorkshire. So the great news is that Ross County, they don't put up weekly press conferences pre and post-match like most people do, like real football, because it's up in Scotland. Instead, they like to sit down with the managers and discuss their lives in long form. We are going to serialise that interview with Owen Coyle over the next few weeks. So here is the first instalment of Owen Coyle's life stories.
Yeah, well, I'm from the Gorbals in Glasgow, one of nine, five brothers and three sisters. Both my parents are from Donegal in Ireland, and my dad was a terrific footballer growing up. So it was just natural for us, I was growing up, the Gorbals always did was kick a ball about. My two older brothers were professionals, the rest of us, my brothers played at different levels. So it was just natural that you get out. I think my head teacher in primary school said the first thing I remember was bringing a ball to school.
There we go. You learn a lot in 30 seconds.
Yeah, you learn a lot about him. Who knew he's one of nine? One of nine!
One of nine. That's probably why he talks so fast.
Yeah, he needed to get it all in, didn't he? Just like, because everyone else is talking. Owen, you've got 10 seconds to tell us about your day. Go. And then that's why now he's taking it through life. Even into a life stories-based interview, where he had all the time in the world. Yeah. But I need to get it out as quickly as he could.
Do you know what? I reckon when he was young, I reckon he was a snitch.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just going behind his brother and sister's backs. Telling mum and dad.
I can see it, yeah. You know what? Because one of them has to be, doesn't it? I can weirdly see that being Owen. And everyone just go, oh, God's sake, Owen, stop it. Stop it. But he kept doing it. But yeah.
There we go. That's episode one of the Countdown Coil Live Story. So we'll have more of that next week. Another enthralling episode coming to Radio Yorkshire very, very soon. We'll be back with more features. Scroll the Town Watch, Good Days, Bad Days in a few moments' time. But next, we'll cross to Valley Parade.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Welcome back to the FL 72. We have a full card of fixtures this evening in League One. Bradford City, they're in action, fresh from their defeat at Bury at the weekend. And going to Valley Parade this evening is one of the form teams in the division now. Oldham turning their form around. Let's cross over now to Valley Parade to speak to Derek Clark. Derek, how are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Not bad. Made it here. I beat the traffic, which is absolutely horrendous getting to Bradford, as you can imagine. But I'm here now, so I'm happy. All's good.
Good news. And you were at the game at the weekend.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a great start for Bradford, of course, going on 1-0 up through Charlie White, but then Stuart McCall called it 2 minutes of madness. They conceded a penalty very harshly, I felt. They converted that, and then a minute later, Jermaine Beckford scores and, of course, does the lead salute in front of the Bradford City supporters to endear them to them. And then the second half just summed up their afternoon. Romain Vincelet missed a great chance of a header from close range, and then about 60 seconds later goes up the other end of the park and puts the ball into his own net. So it was a bad day at the office for Bradford City on Saturday. Stuart McCall will be hoping it is just that, and they can bounce back here against an Oldham side who are, like you said there, Sam, they are in they've hit a bit of form at the moment, so it's not going to be easy tonight, that's for sure.
Now, climbing the table, Oldham, still no manager as well.
No, unbelievably. Who needs managers, really, if you're winning games?
Indeed. But for Bradford, as you said, they've been in great form. Third place in League One, only lost three times so far this season. And yep. Things seem to be going very well for Stuart McCall's side.
Yeah, I mean, that result aside on Saturday, I mean, they had enough chances to win the game, and another day that they could have won it. Stuart McCall and Kenny Black won't be too disheartened with losing the odd game here and there. They'll be hoping they bounce back here. Their form generally is really pretty decent here at Valley Parade, and they've brought a lot of players in the summer, of course, and you're thinking maybe you've lost a lot of key players as well. Will they have the same sort of season as they did last season? But they have hit the ground running, keeping pace with the League One top two. But I mean, they lost ground on them at the weekend. They'll be hoping to make some ground up tonight, that's for sure.
Do you have team news for us?
Yeah, I do. I just got it literally seconds ago. They make three changes from the side that lost to Bury at the weekend. Out goes Kilgallen, Gilead and Dom Polion. In comes Adam Thompson, John Taylor and Amari Patrick. So it's Colin Doyle in goals. Back for Luke Hendry, of course, still in for Tony McMahon. Knight, Percival, Thompson and Chickson make the back four. The midfield is Vincelot, Reeves and Law, with Taylor and Patrick supporting Charlie Wyke up top for Stuart McCall's main.
Excellent. Don't you fancy them tonight?
Yeah, I've got to admit, I do fancy them. I mean, they play some good stuff, Bradford, and they've got some great firepower up there. They just need to be a bit more clinical than they were on Saturday. Like I said, they missed a good few opportunities, so if they can put those away, then I'm sure they can pick up the 3 points here this evening.
Excellent. Derek, enjoy the game, and we'll speak to you later.
Will do.
There we go. Derek Clark, live from Valley Parade. Can the Bantams get back to winning ways? Oldham, still no manager.
Yeah.
Like Richie Wellis is going to get the job, it looks like.
Yeah, he's favourite. And
snatching it from Paul Scholes, who looked like, after last week we discussed it, the next minute he was favourite for the job.
Yeah, Paul Scholes in the Ryan Giggs school of, well, they've not actually got anything that qualifies them for this job, apart from playing for Man United at that time where they won stuff.
Oh, cool. He's from Oldham, Tom.
Oh, right.
He's
okay,
a fan
fair
of
enough.
Oldham.
Fair enough.
Two boxes ticked.
Take that all back.
Look at Chris Wilder.
Yes. Look, it works wonders. It works wonders. Just copy that. Appoint a fan.
You'd have Mick McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd have Mick McCarthy and his singing Eurovision songs. Yeah, it looks like Richie Wellens, you can understand why, doing quite well at the moment. Could be a tough night for Bradford, but you've got to look at the fact that, you know, they are at home, they are trying to bounce back from a defeat, and they are third in the table. Oldham are in form, but they are still down there. So they should really be looking at this one as a very winnable game.
Indeed. So while we're talking managers, let's check in down at Crawley.
Obviously the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kuehl, the Crawley manager, has started with three defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kuehl still awaits his first win as a manager. Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
So Tom.
Hello.
What's happening?
Nothing. Not much at Crawley. They're not doing much recently. They drew 0-0 with Grimsby at the weekend. Grimsby missed a penalty during that game as well, so it could have been a lot worse for Crawley, who, like I said, they won 1-0 last week, draw 0-0. It's getting a bit tedious down at Crawley at the moment. They need to win 5-0, lose 5-0, do something to make this interesting. And again, not much change. 18th. I think they were 17th last week, so they've dropped down a bit. They are literally being kept propped up by Port Vale, Forest Green and Chesterfield, who are very rubbish at football, who, of course, Crawley host tonight in Chesterfield, so they've got to win that. No questions, got to win that.
There'll be serious questions if he doesn't.
And Chesterfield, like Bolton, they've got to win at some point. They've got to win at some point again. They've only won one. So, interesting night, but just what's happened to goals? The defence has tightened up, but now they can't score. It's getting very tedious. Do something, Harry.
Come on, Harry.
Get hammered or hammer someone. Come on.
We'll see. Yeah, I reckon 5-0 tonight against Chesterfield.
Which way, though? Could go either for me. Oh, could go either.
Harry's boys.
1-0 loss. or they scrape a draw. I reckon this could be a turning point for Chesterfield tonight.
Potentially. Hopefully. Let's hope so, in a way.
Yeah.
Imagine being a commentator of Chesterfield.
Having to follow them up and down and watch them lose 10 out of 13 in League 2.
Because Derek's all right there. Derek's reporting on Bradford City. They're winning games.
Yeah, imagine never winning ever.
The 92nd club. what did you make of? Well, we've just got time on this bed. Craig Shakespeare.
No sympathy for the whole Claudio Ranieri situation. Still a bit bitter about that.
You are?
Yeah.
Why are you bitter about it?
Because he was a nice old man, wasn't he? Doing a job. Won the league and they go, yeah, bye. It seemed massively pointless giving him the job, didn't it? Because now, essentially, you've kind of lost a good coach because you got rid of him. They should just never have given him the job in the first place, should they?
It seems massively pointless.
It's
sacking him now. If they'd have sacked him 2 weeks ago with the international break, they've had 2 weeks to get a new manager in. Now they've sacked him. It's going to take, unless they've got someone lined up, which they probably might do, but
for now,
it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks. It's November.
But now they've lost a good coach, haven't they? Now they've lost him as a coach, and you imagine he's a very good coach. So they've kind of shot themselves in the foot with it a bit. They just shouldn't have given them a job in the first place. Kept him on as a coach. Everyone wins probably better than they were.
Oh, there we go. The bed ends.
I saw it fade out. I was like,
perfect timing. Thought there might be some dramatic fade on it there, Tom, but no.
Nah.
No.
Never gets to the end of the bed, so
just
never
seen as well, not Football League related, but they've been in the Football League on and off. Newcastle United, obviously, Newcastle putting them up for sale. Vince McMahon added to the bed.
The wrestling man.
That'd be good.
Weirdly, there were reports that he's going to buy it. He's been linked with clubs before. I'm sure I've seen him being linked with clubs before. Maybe this is something he wants to get into sports club ownerships because he's built the biggest sports entertainment, I think that's the phrase they use, kind of empire. So maybe he wants to get into it. It would be hilarious because of how random it would be. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely. Big Sam for Leicester?
Yeah, that would work quite well. I think it's quite a good situation. He could come in, turn them around in the short term, but probably do well in the long term as well. Yeah, big Sam for me.
Yeah, Andy's stuck that shout in on Facebook. My only words are, hands off Sean Dyche. It doesn't even appear, actually, when you look at the
I was saying this.
It's 12-1.
In the office before we came on air, why does he never get mentioned more?
He should be favourite for that
why
job.
Why does he never get mentioned more? He just goes under the radar on everything, and no one ever suggests him because it's like, well, it seems to be he'll never leave Burnley, so there we go.
Elsewhere, Shrewsbury raising funds to install safe standing.
Yes, this is quite big. Could trigger future safe standing elsewhere. Huge news. They've managed to raise the goal for it. Just under 1,000 donated to the £65,000 target, I think it was. So, yeah, they're going to go ahead and do it. I think 2018 they're looking to get it in place by. So, big news for safe standing in the Football League.
Jordan Hugo, he's had a good season so far for Preston. He wanted to leave.
Yes, deadline day.
Preston willing to listen to offers.
Yeah, they said they're going to listen to offers for him. Probably because he scored a few early on, so they know they can really rinse someone for him in January who's desperate for a striker. Wouldn't be bad. But then Preston are doing well. You want to get rid of that squad, do you, unless a big offer comes in and maybe that's why they're saying, well, we'd probably listen to some offers because you never know. Someone might go, we'll give you 20 million. All right, we'll take it.
Very quickly, Marky Mackay in the running to be the Scotland boss. Good thing,
yes,
bad thing?
Yes, bad thing. Very bad thing. David Moyes' favourite by the looks of it. But Malky Mackay's just there, isn't he? He's taking interim charge, so not for me.
And Graham Wessler, the heavy favourite to be the next Chillingham manager.
No, is Steve it? Evans.
No.
No, I think they've given up on that one.
Graham Wessler is League One's Steve Cottrell.
Yeah, just about. Just about.
We're going to go for a world record. Good days, bad days. Hey. 52 seconds, Tom.
52 seconds.
Off you go.
Turn the bed down so I can speak. There we go. Historic championship good for, of course, Reading's Yap. Stam struggling side. Managed to secure all 3 points at Ella Road in that 1-0 win over Leeds. Spoke about them already. Bad Sheffield Wednesday. Pressure continues to mount on Carlos. Is the dream a nightmare? They lost away to Bolton. Into League One. Good for Gillingham. Their struggle is, but they managed to get the first away win of the season as they beat playoff contenders Peterborough. Bad for Bradford. They're now 5 points away from second as they slipped up to an away defeat against Bury, as we spoke about. League Two, good day for Luton. Scored more than Man City after a 7-1 victory over Stevenage. It's bad for Mansfield Town. Steve Evans' side continue to struggle to suffer defeat against Swindon. They sit in 11th currently. Good days, bad days this week.
Excellent. Quality suffering, Tom. We'll turn you into Owen Coyle before you know it. That's practice. All for this week. Tom Maguire is next with the Evening Show on Radio Yorkshire.